internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a weekly show where two to three old guys talk about old games. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and to get to my anecdote, we talked about it briefly the other day, and I feel it bears repeating and more in depth. Like, what did you guys call your penises when you were little? What was the nickname you grew up calling your penis?
Well, it was my worm. I remember the first time when I asked my dad what it is, he said, well, that's your worm. So
okay,
there we go. It's my worm. Josh. By the way, Josh is here.
Hi, guys. Good to be back.
He's only here to talk about what he called his genitalia as a child.
We had eight people lined up outside to come in and answer this question.
I don't have a name that I called it ever, but if I had to give it a name now, I would give it a name, the name Mr. Stick. Most of you guys will get that, but...
Well, not most. Two listeners.
Most of you guys in this room right now will get that, but...
Don't you love our inside jokes, listeners?
So wait, what I'm confused about is you didn't call it anything as a kid?
No, I didn't.
Like, you just pretend it wasn't there?
Goober. My goober.
He just pointed at it. He did it all the way until he was married. He just walked into the bedroom and just points.
Nicole's got flashcards.
Well, goober, I feel like it's pretty common, and we talked about what goober exactly was, because Dave, you thought goober meant balls.
Goobers are balls.
I thought goober was the actual penis.
And that's what I learned, too, is the goober is the penis. But we looked it up.
I think that's the beauty, though, of male genitalia, is that you can pretty much say anything.
One of the gonna work. Of male genitalia.
Goober beauty trademark.
It's like someone out there right now probably called it their washing machine. Like, that's how...
I thought everybody called it that.
That's the breadth of the male genitalia.
Well, I couldn't say goober when I was younger, so I called it my gooter.
Your gooter?
Which is even worse. It's my gooter. So that's what I call it. That's what my dad will still occasionally make reference to the gooter.
Like when you're in the hospital, you get a catheter. He's still the nurse. Just put it in the gooter.
Thinking about that anecdote, I was just thinking about how weird referring to gooter in any kind of adult perspective is. Like, you're with a girl trying to talk dirty. It's like, girl, I'm gonna give your mouth a good gooter in.
Don't you butter up your hands with that popcorn and slide it over my gooter.
I really need help on my dirty talk in bed, so thank you guys. I'm writing this down.
Gooter.
Gooter.
I gooter up that hoo-ha, girl.
Better than some Tylenol.
Tylenol. I'm Dave, your bespectacled host, and in following what you started, Tyler, and not able to pronounce things correctly as a child, one of my favorite things to do when I was around my younger cousin was to make him say truck in front of his mother. Whenever we'd be in the car, I would point at a truck and be like, what is that? And he would say, fuck. What is it? Fuck. Tell your mom what that is. Fuck.
Sparkling wiggles.
I'll have a link to that in the show notes.
Oh, man. That's a risky link.
I'll have to flag it with, I guess not safe for work. We have a special guest host with us today, not only to talk about genitalia,
but mostly to talk about genitalia.
Josh Nance knows three things: uniracers, genitalia, and Superman.
Some of those correlate.
They're all related in one way or another.
If you guys have this down as a talking point, I'm sorry to kind of pull the curtain, but the Executioner has really massive gonads, or goobers, or...
goobers.
The Eradicator.
The Eradicator, what did I call it?
Get off the show. You made it 5 minutes.
Eradicator,
yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, he does have huge package. Are you going through all your bullet points already?
No.
Like, scratch off number three, huge gonads.
Talk about executioner, question mark. Goober.
In parentheses, gooter. Big gooter.
I think I wrote him down as executioner, but...
You're going to make a quick edit?
Eradicator. One moment, Tadpog listeners. Eradicator.
So okay, so what are we talking about, Josh?
The Eradicator's goober.
That's going to be, I'm going to name this
Not
this
the
episode.
Goober Eradicator, something completely different.
That's a completely different story arc in the DC universe.
So every one of these playable characters you go through in the game have some pretty pronounced goobers, but especially the Eradicator.
We should talk about what we're playing before.
I think we just make people guess.
We just jumped into gooters and we're running with it.
Are they talking about some kind of weird Japanese dating sim?
I'm going to Google gooter, see if I can find this and play it.
I'm into big gooters. I might like this game. What are we talking about, Tyler?
Well, this week we are talking about IGN's 81st ranked game, The Death and Return of Superman. Wanted to call it Maximum Carnage for a second, but we'll get to why I thought that later on.
Okay. You want to talk about what we've been playing or you want to skip it this week?
We can talk about what we've been playing.
We
can make it brief. We can run through it.
Okay. Tyler?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, Dave.
What have you?
Can't sound too proper.
No. What have you been playing this week?
This week, I'm on the last chapter of The Walking Dead.
Nice. That's what you were saying you were playing. You're keeping a surprise.
I thought that'd make you happy.
Yes.
It makes me happy, too.
I'm really enjoying it. Almost done. I'll finish it this week and then start on Devil May Cry, the new Devil May Cry that friend of the show, Sean McElwain, loaned me.
What do you think of The Walking Dead so far? I know I don't want to dwell on it too long, but I loved it, so I'm curious.
I'm not completely enraptured with it, but I'm really enjoying it. I'm trying my best to not look up spoilers or try to find my way, the best way to play through, or continually turning it off and resetting it every time I make a bad decision and see Clementine is now sad.
Reset. That's what I was worried about with you, because I know you went through that torture with L.A. Noire.
Yeah, I've probably only done it twice whenever I was just didn't want to upset Clementine.
Mm.
But otherwise, I've tried to be like, shit, homeless. Hobo guy's mad at me. Oh, well.
That's really the only time the game does give you like a direct consequence like that, is Clementine's sad.
Yeah.
But you're put in a lot of non-win scenarios in that game.
Yeah.
Where you,
I dig that.
You can't, you don't really know. You said you didn't want to talk about that, so we'll save this.
Right. Hey, I like how this is looking. This looks like we could do a Walking Dead special episode when Tyler's done.
That'd
if you guys are down.
Yeah.
And after watching Into Darkness last night, like I really wanted to play FTL.
Oh, yeah, yes, I did too. But yeah, I'll save it for a Walking Dead episode if you guys just...
I'm down. Okay. Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
So when are you going to start Devil May Cry?
I imagine I will probably finish Walking Dead either tonight or tomorrow.
Okay.
So I'll start it as soon as I finish Walking Dead.
Cool.
I also finished reading Exploring Diabetes with Owls, David Sedaris' book.
I remember you mentioning to me you were a little disappointed.
Yeah, a little disappointed. I guess you can only have so much awkward, funny shit happen in your life before you start, you know, just telling regular stories. Like, normally I laugh out loud a whole lot during his books, but only
like
once.
Regular stories, like... He tells a story about walking down the street and buying milk.
So that's mostly what the book was. But yeah, good, not great. If you're a Sedaris fan, it's still good, but...
Was it because you didn't have any fishing to do while you listened to it?
Or just driving back and forth from school. And then I started... I've never read a Neil Gaiman book.
Mm.
My wife talked up American Gods really well, and I've got a copy that it's voice acted. It's not just one narrator going through it all. Like every part is played by someone different.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm about 2 hours into that and I'm really digging it.
Yeah, I need to read that. Josh, have you played anything this week?
Yeah, I finally downloaded BioShock Infinite.
Yeah.
So I'm
nice.
I'm about 5 hours into it, but yeah, I'm loving it so far.
That's also what I've been playing this week. Yeah. It's on my list. Thanks to my buddy Ian for letting me borrow it. You're about 5 hours in. How far in is that?
Let's see. The last thing I did was... you're pretty far in. I don't want to give any spoilers.
Let's not give any spoilers.
Okay.
Just in case anyone out there hasn't played. Anything else?
No, that's really all I've had time for this week. Before I decided to play BioShock, I was doing Borderlands 2. So
you're not going to mention Jurassic Park, The Lost World.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Where we went to...
where we shot up T-Rex female.
Yeah, Galaxy Arcade in Nashville this weekend. Yeah, we Dave and I, we kicked the shit out of T-Rex female.
She bit you?
Yeah.
And had you were dangling out of her mouth?
Yeah.
Remember when I saved you?
Yeah, that was... I still owe you for that, yeah.
Your character said that she was going to have sex with my character.
Yes.
It never happened. I'm just going to put that out there, too.
We'll LARP that. Later on, if you want, on the show. Right. I'll work on my dirty talk.
We'll rub gooters.
Yeah.
And build the working model of the T-Rex mouth.
Tyler will be the puppeteer for the T-Rex. It's like that the pterodactyl porn, which you should link in the show notes.
I don't think I'm going to do that.
There's going to be some rough-ass show notes.
I don't think I'm going to link that. But if anyone wants to do a search for it, I'm sure they can find the pterodactyl porn. And then also I wanted to mention that I played a lot of Super Hoopla.
You mastered Super Hoopla.
Dave and Buster's. Thankfully, I want to thank John Null for consulting with the internet on what is the easiest game at Dave and Buster's. And then I also want to thank the lady who is the Michael Jordan of Super Hoopla, who taught me her technique. I won. Did I tell you how many tickets?
No.
3,700.
Nice.
Playing Super Hoopla.
Well, you got the bonus at Dave and Buster's last night after we went to see IMAX Star Trek. Walk across the mall, Dave and Buster's. So Dave immediately wins the 1,000-ticket jackpot on Tower of Power and then exploit the glitch in Super Hoopla.
Which, you were winning tickets 120 at a time?
Yeah, 120 at a time. And it only took pretty much 2 seconds to get the 120 tickets. But... you think you're winning over, but you're really not because they still have everything priced ludicrously high in their store. Where it's like McElwain and I figured out how much it would be to purchase an Xbox 360 there in their store based on tickets. It's like $600. The equivalent of $600.
Yeah, we had, my wife and I had about, 2,500 tickets, and I got a Star Wars lunchbox. So.
It's
a pretty sweet lunchbox, though.
Yeah.
What did you buy?
I got Nikki one of the Obsessive Chef cutting boards.
Okay.
They had that in the store.
That's nice.
So she sent me a text asking to win or something. So.
And also, just a quick throwback to last episode. Dave, I don't think you're evil. I don't. I think you're neutral.
Did you get a lot of flack for that?
I just remember that. I heard it referenced a few times. I was like, he's not evil. He's not evil. They're good Lannisters. Tyrion might be a good Lannister, but he's not an evil Lannister.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I think about it, I probably don't think you're a Lannister. I kind of think you're a Stark.
Honestly, I'm kind of leaning more to that first quiz. I think Tyrell may have been a pretty good fit. Josh and I were talking about on the way to Nashville because I had mentioned that on the show you said that you'd see me as more of a Lannister. And then Josh kind of mentioned that, well, Tyrell is kind of a Lannister just with a different slant to them. Less incest and...
less gold, more flowers.
Never mind. You're a Lannister. You're definitely a Lannister. Aren't you ready to jump into Superman?
Yeah, I'd like to do a little segment I like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia, if you guys don't mind, if you'll indulge me for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, The Death and Return of Superman. It is a beat-em-up video game based on the Death of Superman storyline. Wikipedia doesn't mention this, but that is a comic book storyline. that's Dave's annotation. It features many characters from the comics, including Superman himself, Superboy, Steel, Cyborg, The Eradicator.
I think you mean Executioner.
The Executioner, which I think, wasn't he an Avengers villain? I may be completely wrong.
There was an X-Men
executioner. He's a Thor,
too.
Yeah, he's a Thor villain.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in Doomsday. Doomsday is also in The Death and Return of Superman. All five Supermen are playable characters at some point in the game.
Something I noticed right off, and I kind of think it says something about any game that falls under this qualification, there's not a GameFAQ.
Oh, there isn't?
There's only someone has put the script on GameFAQ.
Yeah.
That's it. There's not a real GameFAQ. And I feel whenever a game doesn't have one, that definitely says something about it.
Tadpog Challenge?
How many games don't have game packs?
There really isn't a lot of depth to the game. And I don't think a game pack is really necessary for this game.
I think that's a good point. I was curious why a game pack wouldn't be around for it, but it's probably because it has unlimited continues. I'm willing to bet that has something to do with it.
There aren't a lot of bonuses, but I can imagine tips. The bosses are difficult, so I can imagine tips and tricks for the bosses, the location of the one-ups, what items you can get where from slamming enemies into the background.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Thanks to Josh for telling us that we could do that.
Our playthrough wouldn't know any of that.
So you had played this game before, Josh.
I'd played it on Genesis, but from what I can tell, it's pretty well the exact same game.
Only a little bit better because it was on Super Nintendo.
Right.
Yeah.
It's... there is something I want to mention about the playable characters. You do get to play, or you have five different characters to play.
Right.
But you don't get to choose them. You're following a storyline. So you start off as Superman, then you go to Cyborg, and then I forgot who else is after that, Superboy or something.
So the level dictates who you're playing as.
Right, right. So you never get to choose, which I can see why, because, you know, they're following that specific storyline.
Right.
But I think a cool element would have been to choose your character.
Mm, yeah.
Like Maximum Carnage had.
Yeah.
Those
few stages
Spidey
where you could
Venom,
choose, yeah. Right. Do you have a favorite of the five to play as, Josh?
Well, Executioner, obviously.
Obviously, Executioner.
I thought it was cool that you could play as Cyborg, because he's the villain of the game.
Right.
But when you're playing him, you don't know that he's the villain. But, you know, going back and playing, I knew he was the villain whenever I was playing. So that was kind of cool for me. Other than that, which I think will probably bring up another point, I don't really like Superman.
Okay, I think, yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Because that could be a really long conversation.
But yeah, I thought playing as Cyborg was cool. Steel
is my favorite.
Yeah, you commandeered the controller whenever we were playing through. Whenever it gets Steel, but
he has a sledgehammer.
Right.
What's not to like? Tyler, do you have a favorite?
I guess I didn't know anything about any of the storyline besides Superman dies and comes back.
Right.
That's it. Missing the title. Mm-hmm. So I guess I like Cyborg the most because he had all the power of Superman, but was much faster.
Yeah.
I thought playing Superman was frustratingly slow.
Really, really slow. Because that's the first thing I thought when we were playing the game and Superman dies and the next level is Cyborg. Because I remember asking you, are you a lot faster? And you were like, yeah.
He's about twice as fast as Superman. But I like you, Josh. I also don't care for Superman.
We're ready to do it?
Yeah. Let's delve into super issues.
Oh, man. Superman's not my go-to. I don't like to read a lot of Superman. I think there's some really good Superman story arcs, but on the whole, I think he's difficult to write for because
it's too powerful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. I mean, outside of someone having kryptonite, you can only write about that so many times.
Right. It's supposed to be, kryptonite's supposed to be really super rare, but somehow
everybody got it. Right. Roy G. Biv, kryptonite.
Right.
Which actually brings me one of my talking points. I'm pretty sure that Lex Luthor is actually the villain behind this whole thing. Because who else has the resources to give every single thug in Metropolis kryptonite weapons?
That's true.
I mean, they have to have those chainsaws and Molotovs that they throw at you.
Well, that's their name.
They have to be Superman.
Those are the names of the villains. Chainsaw, Molotov.
Everybody has to have kryptonite weapons. How else is a common thug gonna be able to challenge Superman and deal damage?
Mm-hmm. That is irritating in the game, is that they don't explain how these thugs are hurting Superman at all. Which
Superman comes up in the game as a huge pussy.
Yeah. Yeah, he seems like he's completely depowered. Well, maybe not completely, because he can fly. That's cool.
Something I could say about the game that I thought was cool.
I remember loving that as a kid. Just I remember whenever I discovered it by accident too, because I was renting the game, and you know, back whenever you were renting from Movie Hut, they didn't have the instruction booklets. If they did, it was the copied versions and like folded up into those little plastic containers.
There was nothing like renting a game and it having the real instruction manual, and then someone had written, because I remember renting Punch Out and someone had written all the codes in the instruction manual.
Oh, wow.
Oh. glorious days.
Finding treasure. But yeah, it's I discovered being able to fly by accident. I probably went to a point where you had to fly, because at some points you have to fly over obstacles and stuff to get through the level. But yeah, I just discovered it on accident, and I remember just flying up, flying down, left and right, just being so amazed that you could actually fly in a game, because that was a dimension that in a game I had never seen before.
That's my favorite part about the game. Like, hands down, that's my favorite part about the game, is being able to fly during the side-scrolling beat-em-up levels.
And you can fly in regular levels too, but only Cyborg can really fly and fight effectively. I mean, Superman can sort of hover above the enemies just out of their range, but you can't hit them if you're flying. And you can lower down just enough where you can almost hit them, but they have no problem hitting you. Yeah. So they'll just chainsaw you out of the air.
Kryptonite chainsaw.
And you have a ranged weapon. Every Superman has a ranged weapon.
Yeah, all the playable characters have a ranged weapon.
You probably shouldn't use. It's so fucking weak. There's no point in it.
It's just a useless button, yeah.
It's like I could see you using it for like a ranged stun to like keep an enemy away, but most of the time...
The power-up time it takes to actually power up and shoot the beam or whatever, like the heat vision from Superman or the Cyborg's imbuster, the enemy isn't stunned for nearly as long as it takes you to actually shoot. So it's in all sense of the word useless. Except in the levels where you're flying through the air, and then that's the only thing you can do.
Then it's really good.
Yeah, then it's a one-hit kill. But
whenever we were talking about guest hosts for Maximum Carnage, we had a lot of requests for people to guest host that game. And then almost every person, when I said, that game's been spoken for, is there another one you want to do? Everyone that named Maximum Carnage immediately got back to me saying, Death and Return of Superman, that looks exactly the same. Can I do that one? There's reason behind that, because this game did feel kind of like almost like a reskin of Maximum Carnage, just with Superman stuff. It was, to me, it was just very, very similar.
Yeah.
Take away some options, tool with the mechanics a little bit, and it's Maximum Carnage again.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's because both Maximum Carnage and Death and Return of Superman are really basic side-scrolling beat-em-ups.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot they did to the formula other than making them look like Superman and Cyborg, you know. Beyond that, I don't think there's really anything innovative except for the flying mechanic.
Mm-hmm. They reduced down the enemies, made the enemies a little more generic.
Yeah.
They don't have names, they just have what they do. Because I noticed, okay, Maximum Carnage, their regular enemies were pretty tough, and they'd overwhelm you, and the bosses, I felt, were pretty easy.
Yeah.
And then Superman, the formula kind of flip-flops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's completely the opposite, because you can pretty much roll through a level and then get to the boss, and the boss is just unrelenting.
Yeah, you have to use that small window of invincibility after you do a special move or after you die to even get a few hits in.
Yeah.
Like, every boss is like that.
Yeah, I remember fighting Doomsday the first time, and I know it's Doomsday, and he kills Superman. Spoilers! But, I mean, the boss fight, I would go in with 4 lives, and I tried twice, got to him, having not lost a single life the entire level, and then wasn't able to beat him either time.
Yeah, it's the formula for beating the level is pretty simple. You just, any flying enemies around, you fly up in the air, hit them a couple times, and then they're down. Then you go and take care of the ground enemies. Then you move on to the next screen where you do the same thing, you know, until you get to the boss. And if you do that, you know, you could be at full life, maximum number of lives, and get to the boss, and they just tear through you.
Oh, yeah.
The bosses, they're just, I believe I counted right, there are 5 bosses.
Okay.
So 5 playable characters, 5 bosses. You fight these bosses several times.
I was going to ask, because there's 10 stages.
Right.
But there's 5 bosses.
Right. 2 of them are characters that you play.
Right.
Which were Cyborg and Steel.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Doomsday. And then you have Clauster, the first boss, which was actually, I loved Clauster, just seeing this big hulking brute. I thought he was the most interesting design.
I think he is the most interesting boss in the game.
Yeah, but you only fight him once, and he's the easiest boss. But you fight, what was the robot, the Sentinel?
Right. Sentinel.
Sentinel, yeah.
Because we made the joke. That's right. Not a Sentinel because we're, Marvel, I mean, I'll speak for myself. I'm Marvel grown.
Right, yeah.
That's one of my notes, too. I was a Marvel kid, not a DC kid, except for Batman.
Yeah.
I like some DC stuff, but yeah, I'm mostly Marvel. But yeah, so 5 playable characters, 5 bosses, 2 of which are playable characters.
Over the span of 10 levels,
right.
It gets the bosses get a little boring. Mm-hmm. Because I remember, like, what, the second or third time in a row you fight Cyborg, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
I like something a little different.
And, spoiler again, he's the final boss. So by the third time, you're not expecting, you beat him, you're expecting something else. But no, that's it. You beat him for the third time again, you know, and instead of Superboy or Eradicator letting their guard down.
Executioner, come on, Josh.
Superman just, turns around and punches him. And that's it, just a little animation. Anticlimactic animation, like that anticlimactic. I remember you guys bitching about that, the punch that killed Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I want to try to get through the mire that is the story of the game, but preface it by saying that just playing through the storyline in the game, the story has no weight whatsoever. It's obtuse and unfollowable.
Yeah.
And then I also have the death blow is silly.
Yeah.
Because you...
Tell me about the death blow.
Well, you actually... Yeah. You fight Doomsday twice.
I
want to
hear about this death blow.
You fight Doomsday twice.
Uh-huh.
The first one, he's very easy. The second time, he's extremely difficult. And after you beat him... As Superman. No matter what part of the screen you're on, then you guys walk to the middle and look at each other. And then both do the punch animation at the same time.
Right.
And then you fly back. And then there's dramatic Lois Lane holding Superman's dead body.
Right. Well, have you read any of the storyline in the comics?
I remember reading a little bit because I was in the 5th grade when this came out.
Right.
And I remember it was a huge deal.
It's a big deal. Yeah.
Everyone was like, oh my gosh, Superman's dead. I remember standing at the cafeteria line. All the kids were talking about it. I was kind of interested.
Yeah.
But that was when I was more into the Green Ranger.
Okay.
So it was on my radar, but the Green Ranger, that was my focus in 5th grade.
Reply, the Green Ranger never died.
Well, it's true. Although I still, to this day, I will get chills if I hear the Green Ranger theme. That's how ingrained it is to me.
You should have saved that for an intro. But it'll make for a nice show note.
I just want... thanks for reminding me about that. Yeah, I remember when the Death of Superman came out, too. And props to my parents who stood in line for hours to get... my mom stood in line, and I think she got 4 copies for us. One for my mom, my dad, myself, and my brother. So I guess she thought they'd probably be worth more than what they are. But
yeah.
But it was very nice. Surprising.
I've read... in preparation of the show, actually, yesterday I read The Death of Superman. I'd never read it before, but I had the trade paperback. Someone gave me, a family member gave it to me when I was, I guess, right around when the actual comics published. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's a lot of it is written and by Dan Jurgens, who also did the art. And he's a pretty well-liked Superman writer/artist from the 90s. I wouldn't say it's great. I wouldn't say the storyline is great because it drags on a little bit, especially when you know how it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few issues where it's like, well, just get on with it. But there's a part in the storyline that I really wish had been in the game. And that's where Doomsday just tears apart the JLA, the Justice League. I think it would have been cool if they would have spent more time on the death of Superman and less time on the return of Superman. Because they could have done these levels where you're playing as, you know, Booster Gold. Yesterday, we were stumped because it's like, who would be Iron Man in DC? And I think Batman is, but I also had forgotten about Booster Gold because I think Booster Gold is kind of an Iron Man parallel as well. Because he's all suit-based and he is a little over-the-top playboy kind of character. Although he's a little goofier than Tony Stark. So you blend Batman and Booster Gold, and I think you have somewhere there you get to.
Well, I didn't realize this about Steel, too. John Henry Irons. He was a weapon designer, too. So
I didn't know that.
And Shaq.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, man, I remember that movie. I'm pretty sure there is a point in the movie where John Henry Irons, as played by Shaquille O'Neal, had to throw a grenade in a small opening, like in a building or something, through a window, I think, which was a joke about his free throw.
Wait a minute. I'm going to ask you something out of all seriousness. I want a serious answer because I've never seen Steel. Is Steel really about that character? About the DC comic book character Steel?
Everything I read about it online made reference to it. Uh-huh. I can't say for certain. But there are a lot of parallels if it's not.
Because I've never seen the movie, so I have no idea.
I think it's supposed to be. No, I mean, I'm sure these producers got a hold of it and did no telling what with it, the script, but...
Why didn't we watch this before doing the show?
Why didn't we talk to Second Breakfast about watching Steel?
I don't think Phil will be your friend anymore.
After Second Breakfast, after you're done with the Mel Gibson breakthrough that you're doing, do a Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaquille O'Neal gauntlet.
Shazam. What, Blue Chip, Shazam, and Steel.
I haven't seen any of those. But yeah, I haven't read any of The Return of Superman. But based on the death of Superman, the comics handle it a lot better than the game. The game doesn't convey the story very well at all.
I didn't feel anything at all playing through the game and trying to put anything together.
Yeah.
The Justice League was barely in it at all. I think they were mentioned.
They were mentioned once, in the newsflash.
Yeah. But that was my favorite part, too, of the death of Superman, was just seeing Doomsday tear through the Justice
League. Oh, yeah.
And then you get to the Superman fight, which I did enjoy. But it was drug out.
Over the course of 3 issues.
Yeah, so...
So Doomsday easily just beats the shit out of Wonder Woman without
It's
issue?
It's Justice League America. It's not who you're thinking. It's not like Wonder Woman, Batman. There's Guy Gardner. Martian Manhunter. It's kind of like B-Team.
Okay.
Because there's Guy Gardner, Lantern. There's Ice. There is... I mean, characters that I don't know just because I'm not super familiar with the DC universe. Like, as I was reading it, I was like, okay, I guess this is a character named Fire. There's Ice and Fire.
He does take out Supergirl pretty easily, but we don't know.
We don't know what happens. But in the comic, Supergirl goes off to fight Doomsday, and Doomsday punches her face off. Like, she flies up, and she's like, because, like, it's for several issues. She's talking to Lex Luthor Jr., and she's saying, oh, I really should go help Superman. And he's convincing her, no, he's got it. And then finally, the third issue, she's like, I'm going to go help him. And Junior's like, well, okay, I think you should. And then she flies off, and then Doomsday just punches her face off. She turns into a purple alien and falls to the ground.
Never
mentioned again.
I was really, really confused. As a kid, as a fifth grader, reading this,
if I can find that the scanned in panel, I will post it in the show notes, just so everyone knows what the hell we're talking about. I got to that panel yesterday and I was like, what the fuck? Like, as a 31-year-old man, I didn't know how to feel, because he is punching her face and her face just turns into, it looks like flesh colored water just flying off of her skull.
Because I remember, as soon as Superman dies, it shows, you know, him torn to pieces, Lois Lane holding him in front of, like, an American flag.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the game, it cuts to, newsflash, there are people seen around that look like Superman. One being a half-robot Superman. One Superman who is the same, yet different.
Right. I think that's verbatim what it says.
Because Meg was just, like, laughing her ass off, just... That's the point where she just checked out. Like, nope, all right, time to play Candy Crush on my iPad. And it kind of happens again whenever it's talking about suddenly Engine City comes down and ... Coast City is destroyed. And it just goes from, like, gray city to just black.
Yeah.
That's it.
Superman has to stop Engine City 2 from...
Because there's one Engine City and then the other Engine City.
Coast City is destroyed and becomes Engine City.
Oh, I've got a little bit of trivia, if you're interested.
Yep.
I found out that the death of Superman wasn't even planned to happen, because what they wanted to do in the comics was have Superman marry Lois Lane. That's what they wanted to do, but they couldn't because ABC wanted to do it first in The Adventures of Lois and Clark. So, essentially, the writers of the comic were told, you can't do that yet because they want to get married in the show first. And then one of the writers just jokingly said, well, let's kill him. And so they killed him.
Thank you for reminding me of Lois and Clark. I had totally forgotten about that TV show.
Can I redo my intro? I'm Dave, your bespectacled host, and I had a really big crush on Terry Hatcher as Lois Lane.
I'm Tyler, your bearded host, and I had a huge crush on Dean Cain, but only when he was shooting through to the bricklayers on the MTV jams for the bricklayers versus the celebrity mix-up games.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you like that shit? Dean Cain was the shit in those.
Oh, fuck.
Dean Cain, like Scottie Pippen, you can't fucking touch the bricklayers.
Scottie Pippen. All right, well, we're going to have to recut the intro.
I'm going to throw some rapid-fire bitchings at you real quick.
Okay, about hold the game. On. Hold on, let me prepare myself mentally.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Health power-ups, very rare, except in the flying levels, and you just get tons. You're nearly invincible in the flying levels, because every time you kill an enemy, you get a full health refill.
True.
Weird.
Yeah.
Slamming enemies into the background for the bonuses... Sometimes it makes sense, mm-hmm. like you can slam enemies into the teleporter to stop enemies from coming.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. otherwise, Superman can't harm anything.
Denying them climax.
Yep. Because you fight the DC equivalent to the Morlocks at first, and all of a sudden they disappear, never heard from again.
The Underworlders, right.
Then just, you know, Billy Idol street punks with different colored hair. They look like the trannies from Final Fight.
Not real bad girls.
Not real bad girls. Then a bunch of soldiers. Just the elite soldier and the defender soldier.
Yeah.
Over and over.
Those are from Cadmus, but they don't tell you that in the game.
One of the levels is assault on like level 3 or something, mm-hmm. is assault on Cadmus. And it doesn't explain why you are, but until...
And you're cyborg, and you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, you would just assume that they're just regular soldiers, but yeah, they're Cadmus.
But this, the brawler niche
yeah.
is repetitive already, and I feel like this was extraordinarily repetitive. Mm-hmm.
I've mentioned this before, and playing The Death and Return of Superman has kind of only reinforced this with me. I think that a brawler is only as strong as its art direction, and if it introduces unique mechanics that we're not used to seeing in a brawler, which Death and Return of Superman does, but I don't think it makes up for it being lackluster in all the other departments. Because mm-hmm. like being able to fly, that's cool, but it doesn't make up for the rest of the game being very much a generic brawler.
They like secure your basics uh-huh. and then add on.
Yeah.
And, like they just
added on without doing
lowest
anything.
Lowest common denominator and then just put a few bells and whistles on it.
Yeah.
The levels were very long, which is fine, but the music never changed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it just got really, really irritating to me.
In the
just
levels.
Hearing the same for like 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm particular about wanting changes to music and
sure
different interludes in the levels to kind of break up the monotony, especially for a brawler, and this just did not do it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen your gaming notes for some of the campaigns you run. You've got a list of different characters and their own themes and what to play.
Whenever I run my D&D games, whenever somebody can start humming to the music I'm playing, then I change it. Like, when I know it's in your head, time to switch it up.
Any more bitching points?
I'm continually confused about how IGN ranked the top 100, because mm-hmm. this is 81.
Right.
I feel this probably deserves to be on the top 100.
Yeah,
I'll give
I agree.
It that much, but 81's pretty high for it.
I know Super Bomberman 2 is kind of our benchmark so far.
Yeah.
I don't think this game is better than Super Bomberman 2.
Nope.
Like, by
not
a
better
long
than 89.
Shot.
It's not 8 spots higher.
And because it seems we say that with every game, I think really what we should be saying is they put Super Bomberman 2 way too low.
Yep. Yeah, that's
well,
true.
Even so, I don't think this is any better than Maximum Carnage.
I don't either.
I think Maximum Carnage was a better game all around.
Now, I agree.
More challenging, had more add-ons, a better just... solid what it was about. Mm-hmm.
There are a few things I like better about Death and Return than I do about Maximum Carnage.
What are those?
Your special move in Maximum Carnage takes your life down.
Right.
Whereas Death and Return, you find those little icons, you can power ups, you can collect.
Right. You have a limited number of times you can do it.
And
it doesn't take life away when
right.
you use it.
The Well, obviously flying, right. Which was, I agree with you, one of my favorite points of the game. The playable characters, even though you couldn't choose which one you could be at which level, I do like the fact that you had several different playable characters.
There's more than two.
Right.
Now, it didn't have summons.
Right, like yeah, that's true. Yeah, Maximum Carnage had allies, which would have been great if you could summon Justice League characters to help, but I guess that's about it.
But when it comes to ranking, I know we've had a lot of requests, like, how would you guys rank it? What would you do? So I think coming out pretty soon, sometime after the 80, we should either do an extended bit, or I think we could probably do a whole special episode about how we would re-rank these games and and take people commenting what they think and guest hosts what they think and just kind of try to rework how we think the top or the bottom 20 should be.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Looking through the game facts, trying to scour information. Like, they had a few cheat codes and the game script and then two reviews. Both the reviews give it 8 out of 10. And just the game facts reviewer, G. Mitchell.
Okay.
Kind of his review stood out to me because he prefaces it, give it 8 out of 10. But before you read this review, you should know that I think Streets of Rage 2 is one of the best games of all time. Like,
okay.
All right. Uh-huh. Not a bad game by any means. By any stretch, it is not a bad game.
Right.
But that...
The best of all time?
This one, best of all time. So, for Superman, pretty good. Pretty good, man.
I like Streets of Rage 2. I think it's better than Death and Return of Superman by a long shot. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's the best game of all time.
Best game all time.
I mean, Jurassic Park, The Lost World, maybe. Streets of Rage 2, I don't know.
Is there a T-Rex female in Streets of Rage 2?
Not that I ever saw.
They say they have Streets of Rage 3, which exists, but...
I think there's a dinosaur side-scrolling beat-em-up, Cadillacs and Dinosaurs, based on the comic book.
Hmm.
Or maybe it's Dinosaurs and Cadillacs. I can't remember which way.
I remember there was a Jurassic Park game. It may be on the list. I don't remember. But
not the Super Nintendo version. Super Nintendo version was pretty bad.
You could be a
raptor on the Genesis. Yeah. Oh, man. So, yeah. It was a side-scroller. You could play as a raptor.
That's true. So, already, Jurassic Park for the Sega Genesis, better than Streets of Rage.
I've got achievements. If you're ready for achievements.
Yeah, let's do it. I'll think of them. So I'll go last, Josh.
I'll go for what both of you guys think.
Okay. Talk slowly, Tyler.
This kind of shows Josh Mountain hadn't been listening to a few episodes. Be like, achievements, are you good?
What the fuck?
Is that a thing now? What are you?
Do that every episode?
Just win.
I want to be like Dave and not think of any until it's time.
It's easier that way.
So my first one is... Come on and slam, welcome to the jam. This is the Space Jam.
What is it again?
Come on and slam, and welcome to the jam. This is the Space Jam.
Okay.
All right. That is...
I can fly.
Superman's special is he flies up into the sky very quickly and slams down and takes out everything on the screen.
Okay.
So you kill Doomsday with his slam maneuver.
Okay, all right.
Achievement one. Achievement two... Shaquille O'Neal versus the Steam Engine.
Since
we have a little more explanation about how those two things relate, you beat Steel's level without using a continue. That's all I got.
Okay, Josh, it's your turn because I haven't come up with one.
I haven't come up with one either.
Cut in Mr. Show.
Elevator music. We're all waiting on you, Josh.
I'm thinking.
Okay, I've got an achievement.
Right.
We're gonna skip you, Josh.
If you pick mine, I'm gonna be pissed.
You printed it down one.
I'm writing it down.
Asshole. Do you have one, Josh? No. Okay, well, I'm gonna do one. If you use mine, I'm gonna
if you use this thing in my mind's eye right now.
Go. You don't have one.
But if you steal Dave, he's gonna be so pissed.
Okay, let's see. We'll call it Goober Execution. Which,
We need to bring that up. We kind of vaguely talked about it, but Eradicator, his animation, has a huge, huge penis.
Yeah,
huge penis.
His junk is insane.
He's got a 24-pack and like a 12-inch penis.
Not only that, one of his special grab moves, which we didn't talk about, the grab moves. I guess we could talk about that in a minute, but... He has a special grab move where he grabs them, you press down and attack. He knees them in the crotch over and over.
Right.
So, Goober Execution will
That's pretty good.
Will be what, 10 enemies? You kill them by the goober execution.
By the goober execution.
The grab, knee crotch attack, yeah.
So tell us about the grabs.
Okay, you could grab them in Maximum Carnage, right? Where they're different.
Yeah.
Like, you could use different directions to achieve different throws and such.
Yeah, and you could use, like, Spider-Man would do, like, a web whip to pull them close, and Venom would do a schlorp.
Schlorp.
Okay, so in Death and Return of Superman, it was pretty easy to grab enemies. You just walk up to them, and as long as they don't hit you or you don't hit them, you grab them. Then you have a short window of time to press a direction and attack. Depending on the direction you press, if you press up, you throw them against the wall where you can find special items, power-ups, that sort of thing. You destroy the wall. In the later levels, there are teleport pads where the enemies teleport in, and you can destroy them by using grab moves. You mm-hmm. can left or right. You can throw them behind you or in front of you, and on the ground, they'll destroy those pads, and the enemies will stop teleporting in.
The pads, they look like oven eyes that are red hot.
Then the down
or stove, I guess, would be the proper.
Cyborg recycled all the stoves in Coast City.
The down attack moves. Everybody has a little different one. I remember, like, Superboy, like, jumps on their back and hits them in the back of the head or something. Eradicator knees them in the crotch repeatedly. So that was kind of interesting. I enjoyed the grab moves. And there is even some levels you can throw them off the building. Of course, there's like a...
The buildings are very, very short.
Yeah, a safety ledge right on the other side of the building because the enemies just pop back up.
Well, that leads into my achievement. Metropolis, the biggest little city. You have to throw 10 enemies off a building. And that's how you have to throw them off until you kill them that way, which is very difficult to do because it does so little damage because the buildings are so short.
Well, I've got the achievement Gooter Slayer. Damn it, Josh, you did that. Damn it, Josh, you took mine. Damn it, Goober Executioner, Gooter Slayer.
All right, I got something. We haven't done a Where Are They Now in a while.
Oh, that's what we haven't done in a while. Mm-hmm. Never got me excited. Never mind. In this extremely phallic episode of
we haven't talked Gooter in a
while. Isn't every episode phallic?
It's been especially phallic. Talking about penis nicknames, eradicating goobers.
On the bright side, we haven't mentioned Earthbound once.
That's true.
Chrono Trigger. Usually in my segment, Dave reads from Wikipedia. Wikipedia will mention who made the game. And when the game came out, they didn't do that for Death and Return of Superman. So just like it doesn't have a game fact, no one cares about when it came out and who made it.
Except us.
Type. So I know who made it, but I need to figure out when it came out. It came out in 1994. Mm-hmm. It was developed by Blizzard. You may know them from not World of Warcraft, but Blackthorn.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And we kind of talked about where they are now. And the Blackthorn episode. I say kind of because we really didn't, but I'll put a link to that in the show notes anyway so you can listen to it. It was also published and co-developed by Sunsoft. It has that cute little bat.
Acrobat, I think it is.
Do you guys know where Sunsoft is today? Tyler, do you know?
I feel like Sunsoft had a few quality titles.
Okay.
So they had to have been bought up. Okay. Someone had to have claimed all of Sunsoft's shit.
Okay.
So I'm going to say Sunsoft was bought up by Acclaim.
Okay. Josh, do you have a guess?
Sunsoft?
Sunhard.
Okay, I'm gonna say
Penis.
Earthbound Chrono Trigger.
I'm going to say...
No girls have ever guest hosted that long.
We can go get Nicole right now.
We were talking to Nicole yesterday. I was telling Nicole, I was like, when are you going to come on the show? And she says, when are you going to invite me? I just assumed that we had invited her on the show.
You guys have never invited me. I invited myself.
Yeah, that's what we found out. Is that, like, everybody who comes on the show just ends up inviting themselves.
Okay, so Sunsoft. I think they poured all their resources into opening up media stores in the mall. Renamed it to Suncoast and went bankrupt.
I bought so many uncensored Dragon Ball Z cassette tapes or VHS tapes from Suncoast.
What are they censoring in those? Are there?
I think Goku says, "Is there hardcore
penetration in Dragon Ball?"
In the original Dragon Ball, I remember the original Dragon Ball. Goku steals Bulma's panties in one episode.
He pulls on her shirt once too. I've seen the uncut Bulma's animated tits one time.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
That's weird. All okay. Right, well, usually I'm against censorship, but in that case...
Oh, wait, hold on. Goku versus Superman, guys. Are we talking about Dragon Ball Z and Superman?
Somebody on, like, our anime had figured it out.
Okay, I'm completely unaware of this.
Yeah, trying to compare, looking at the greatest, like, all through the whole of Dragon Ball and all of Superman mythos, like, their acts of strength, trying to determine their max strength.
Yeah.
Like, Superman... could barely lift like a neutron star. I think so. That's why they figured out to cap out his strength.
Okay.
What a pussy, right?
Yeah. I mean, really? Barely hold one up. And according to Dragon Ball Z, like Goku's power level is
over 9,000.
In the billions. It was over 9,000 like in the first like 20 episodes.
Which 17 of those were just him powering up.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question? Because I don't know much about Dragon Ball Z. What the fuck do they measure units of power?
It's not really
over 9,000 what?
Power levels.
Power levels.
What does one power level equal?
Well, Goku has like 100 and nearly 200 in the first episode.
Does that mean that like 200, does that mean he's as strong as 200 guys?
No, I think an average human with a shotgun is like 4 or something. Yep. So.
And who's, is that like in one of the episodes?
Yeah, that is, yeah.
The person with the highest... The human with the highest power level that is unable to work with ki energy is Mr. Satan.
Guys, I don't know if you realize this, but this doesn't sound real at all.
Well, because Vegeta's power level is like 9,000, and with a power level of 9,000, you can blow up a planet.
So Death Star has a power level 9,000.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Although it gets into like, power levels get into the millions and billions, so... That's how ridiculous Dragon Ball Z gets. And according to Dragon Ball Z rules, Superman's power level is 45.
It's 45? Okay, so I'm going to bring both of you motherfuckers to court right now and say that you don't like Superman because he's too powerful. So the next time I hear you say anything about Dragon Ball Z...
Touche.
All right. Fair enough.
So, Sunsoft. I'm going to tell you where they actually are. Believe it or not, they're still around.
I am very, very surprised.
I am too. So surprised that I had to look twice. I did a double take at Wikipedia because that's, you know,
that's
where I get
first,
all my information.
Like, that's the first company that's not like Blizzard and Acclaim that are still around.
They've been around since 1971 and they were best known debatably. I'll tell you what I know them best for. Blaster Master, that whole series.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy Legends. You remember those for the Game Boy?
Mm-hmm. They were behind. Pretty bad.
Yeah, they were pretty bad. And Spy Hunter, which we actually saw at Galaxy Game Arcade yesterday. Mm-hmm. So there's I guess that's happy. Someone's still around.
Yeah, somebody that isn't an everyday gaming company. Still
someone
around.
Other than Goku and Superman.
Because I have seen fan art of them fighting.
I'll try to, if you send me links to some, I'll put them in the show notes.
Okay. Remember, I remember putting one on our Facebook group because there's no bigger fan of Goku and Dragon Ball Z than Sean McElwain.
Right.
And he will get angry if you bring up Superman possibly being able to take Goku. He will get angry if you bring up anyone ever challenging Goku, period.
Well, obviously Superman couldn't beat Goku.
Nope.
If Superman's a 45.
Yep.
I'm just going to say
straight
that.
Up.
What's Kate Upton? Power level. What's Kate Upton's power level?
Considering her boobs or not considering her boobs?
Oh, considering her boobs.
Two,
okay.
wait, hold on.
Wait, I thought each one of her breasts would get a power level.
Yeah, a farmer with a shotgun is a 4, and
just Kate Upton by herself is a 2.
But would a farmer with a shotgun shoot Kate Upton? Topless.
I guess it depends on that farmer's sexual predilections. And whether or not Kate Upton has invaded his land.
Well, obviously she has.
Then yeah, she will definitely shoot Kate Upton.
Okay. We have a few people who called. That's a lie. One guy called us.
I can step out and call you guys.
We have a few people online.
Could you please, Josh, could you please leave and call us real quick?
So this did not make you a lie.
Let me play you the call we got.
Hey guys, it's Paul Clue again. My weekly call. I'm afraid I'm a bit late this week, but I've got an idea. I know Tyler's not big on doing the Star Wars thing, but how about if you show him the machete order, which is 4, 2, 3, 5, and 6. This way, none of the crap that one was, you get the exposition from 2 and 3, which basically they're really just setting up 4, 5, and 6, so watch 4 first, get the story. 2 and 3 are there for the exposition. Then 5 and 6 are the endings aren't spoiled. I don't know. Just thought. Enjoy your week. Have a good day. Bye.
All right, now Paul almost immediately posted in Facebook after he left this voicemail saying that he'd mixed up the order, actually. Which, to that, I say that's completely fine because it doesn't matter because you've already seen, Tyler, you've already seen the first three.
Yep.
Like, and by first three, I mean the awful prequels.
The first three. I know what you mean when you said the first three.
And it's difficult to say not the chronological first three because it depends if you're talking about our timeline or the Star Wars timeline.
Well, if you're using numbers, the first three.
If you are using numbers, the first three. Correct. So, Paul, that's a great suggestion, but unfortunately, Tyler's already been, he's already been deflowered.
If I were to watch them, I've read lots of different order watching theories before, yeah. And if I were to watch them, I would want to watch them in a special order like that. So, Paul, yes, if I are to watch them, I would like to watch them in machete order.
Well.
If I are to, if I am to.
R2-D2?
If I R2 will to one day do the watching of the shows.
If I R2-C3P. Oh. My favorite order actually watching Star Wars is to watch Episode 4 and then Die Hard 2. And then you watch Drop Dead Fred. And then you watch The Phantom Menace. And then you're done. Mm. And then you wait 2 years. You go back and you watch Empire Strikes Back and Jedi.
And then Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's. See, I never really subscribed to the Weekend at Bernie's theory because there really isn't a whole lot of room in the Star Wars universe for dancing zombies.
I don't know. Some of the expanded universe content, it's pretty out there. And if Willow...
Willow, right. And Willow is actually...
part of the Star Wars canon.
So, right.
If I were to make my Friends reference of the week, then I'd have to... I can't remember exact wording, but you have to say your favorite movie is still Magnolia's and then have it actually be Weekend at Bernie's and keep that a secret.
Did you notice... I believe it was Sam called you out on some Friends trivia.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure what he was talking about. So that I was like, surprises me. Where did I miss this? Where did I miss a beat?
Because he also mentioned Elliot flashing a la Orchid with death titties, but she has the opposite. Elliot in Scrubs has the opposite of death titties.
Yep.
She has healing, titties.
I love Sarah Chalk. Oh, yeah. I love Sarah Chalk.
Is she in your top five?
No. She's in my top 20.
Is she in your top five of the Roseanne cast?
Yeah. She's my top Becky's.
Tyler has many top five lists.
In my top Becky's on Roseanne, Sarah Chalk's
number one. I agree. John Turley, it's okay. We know you're into Darlene.
Man, knowing John Troy, that makes a lot of sense. I can see that. I can see him loving Darlene.
You guys have Mondo sitting here right in front of me. You guys have not mentioned Mondo yet. Are you guys done with that?
Yeah, they're not a sponsor anymore. You can have both of those global grapes, though, if you
want. You can take them or you can save them for David Dykus whenever he comes over Donkey Kong Country.
We'll save them. We'll save them for Dykus.
If you want to give us a call, listener, or Tyler, or Josh, if you ever feel like calling and leaving a message, you can. Would you like to know how to do that?
Please.
You can give us a call at 270-883-2555. And I want to know, where should Weekend at Bernie's go in Star Wars?
Who do you think should win, Superman or Goku?
Oh.
Power levels aside.
Scratch everything I've said. I do want to know who would win between Superman and Goku. I want to hear from Sean
McElwain.
We've
got to bait McElwain into calling.
Yes. And if anyone, I want to see someone take the position of Superman beating Goku, because then I know we can definitely get McElwain to call in.
Then we can definitely get McElwain to fight that person.
So, Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Got a question for you. You might not be prepared for.
I bet I am, but please proceed.
There's this thing on your face, just like a curtain for your mouth. I think you call it a beard. Sometimes you like to sign beards to games.
I do.
Do you have one prepared for the death and return of Superman?
I do.
What would that be?
Well, I would give it one unshavable, ungrowing beard made of steel on Shaquille O'Neal's face.
Could you cut it with a Kryptonian blade?
You could with adamantium, but you would have to get the callback to Patton Oswalt's rant on Parks and Recreation. You have to get one of Thanos' gems out of the Infinity Gauntlet that allows you to cross dimensions so you can put Marvel and DC together.
Right. Okay.
That's another thing for the show notes.
Yes, it is.
It's very, very good.
It is very funny.
But it's a beard that if you don't like it, you know, fuck it. You're stuck with it. You can't shave it. You can't change it. You can't get rid of it. It is just statically there to be blasé.
Unless you get one of the Infinity Gems.
Forever and ever. Unless you get one of the Infinity Gems.
Tyler, you also sometimes will tell us that if the game were to wear glasses up upon its nose, what would those glasses be, do you think, for Death and Return of Superman?
The Death and Return of Superman would get a pair of glasses that are the same, yet somehow different. So
much like the executioner.
The Gooter slayer. So that sort of shows how this game compares to every other brawler in the genre.
Okay. Now, are they Clark Kent spectacles that look the same but are slightly different?
They completely disguise you.
Are there 80 style safety glasses that do nothing? And you can tie that Simpsons episode right there. Nice. The goggles, they do nothing.
They do nothing. All right, that's all I've got.
I guess
do you have
shout
anything
outs.
More other than shout-outs? People we want to thank?
Other than shout-outs, no. I guess we should thank Josh.
I guess.
He's here.
Yeah, thanks for letting me crash your show, guys. Even though you
why would we thank him? We didn't invite him.
you don't send invites.
He just crashed our Gooter party.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for...
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
You can't just hit me with this. You gotta, do you see my notes?
Yeah, I saw your bullet points. Well, besides Josh, Tyler, who you got that we need to thank?
For Facebook shares. Damn it, we have to thank Josh again. For Facebook shares. Josh Nance, Nicole Nance, Mega Elixir, Matt Barger, Jess at Sook Street Post, and Fuck It Tadpog, because we pimp our own shit.
Right. We're getting better about that. Yep. I'm getting less shy about pimping the show.
Yep. For art, because Micah posted some Tyler Nall art.
Tyler Nall.
I appreciate the rapid release.
Yes. It's a suppository.
Ramon posted an amusing beard trustability chart.
Aye.
So for calls, I want to thank Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
You said weekly, so damn it, let's have it be weekly.
We're
going
to hold
Come
you
on,
to
Paul.
That. We put a show together once a week. I think you can call us once a week. We're going to hold you to it.
For tweets, Mega Han, Leva Bates. Thank you, Leva Bates, because we're like, hey, Leva, come on.
Yeah,
come on.
Pretty much begged Leva to retweet us, so thank you for doing that.
Hey, pretty girl who wrestles, come on.
That has way more followers than us on Twitter.
Micah. Lord Micah Perdue, I should say.
Yes, Lord Micah Perdue.
I thought he was Baron. Or has
a, and we need to give Paul a rank, actually. He's called twice in. Remember we said we were going to start giving everyone a rank?
He's certainly Sir Paul now.
Okay, Sir Paul. Okay, good.
Sir Paul Kuhl.
Okay.
Kid Samson, for comments, Matt Barger, Mega Elixir, Superfan Dennis Robinson, and John Turley.
Mm-hmm.
And then eerily silent, still Blake Woods. Nothing.
I think he's just so enraptured with the D&D game that you're running that he has absolutely nothing more to do.
He only sends us messages about my D&D game.
Send messages on Facebook on whether or not we're ready to play. I think he's got his day job, and then he comes home and sits at Facebook and just sends messages out making sure we're ready to play.
And then eerily silent Josh Nance.
I'm sorry.
Our last six episodes, Josh Nance.
Let's look at Josh.
What's up, Josh? Hey, guys.
His wife threw him under the bus yesterday. Saying what a dedicated listener she was, and then she's like, "Josh doesn't listen. He doesn't listen anymore."
I have Josh. That is because we were listening to them together. And yeah, I have since finally subscribed to Tadpog. And I have
oh my god. We've been doing this for like 6 months, Josh.
You're on our third episode.
I've listened to the majority of Tadpog. Okay?
People like you. That's why we're not millionaires, Tyler.
I've got like,
that's why Mondo pulled their sponsorship.
I've got like 3 episodes to catch up on, but I'm going to. Until Tyler gets me the last few Dresden File books on audiobook. I've got several hours a week that I can spend listening to Tadpog.
If I would have known that this whole episode, I would have just made references to the last 3 episodes we've done. Remember what we said about...
I could have done the awkward I get it laugh. Yeah, guys. Oh, yeah.
We didn't even talk about that, Josh.
Gooters.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher, and so you don't miss the next episode, we'll be talking about IGN's 80th ranked game, Pilot Wings.
Pilot Wings.
We'll have a special new guest host and a new mix track from Megalixir.
Yep.
While you're there, don't forget to subscribe, give the show a 5-star rating, write a review, please.
Mm-hmm.
And then thanks to all the people I just mentioned.
Don't worry, guys. We'll be back next week. We won't have Josh.
Not until he catches up.
Mm-hmm. No more.
Or not until he can pass the Tadpog authorization quiz.
For all who want to entry into the Tadpog room, hint, you must first pass this quiz.
Hint, find the answer to Gooter.
And also, what Game of Thrones house are you?
If you can't wait for more Tadpog in the meantime, you can leave us feedback on tadpog.com or facebook.com/tadpog. I also have never mentioned where you can follow us on Twitter. If anyone's interested,
Oh hey,
you can follow us at tadpog_podcast. I know it's cumbersome. It's the best I could do.
Yeah, Tadpog was taken for some reason.
I know. Our intro song, Tyler. Are you familiar that there's a song that plays before the show?
I've heard there's one. Mm-hmm. I've heard rumor that there's one.
Josh doesn't know if we've changed it the last 3 episodes or not.
What do you think of that last one, Josh?
Josh, actually, it's a quiz. Josh, do you know who our intro song is by?
Sycamore Drive, I believe, because I also lived in Murray. Is a road in Murray.
That's good.
That's good.
Do you know what the track is called, Josh?
Smooth Moves? Something moves. It has moves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. You're there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Gooter moves.
Gooter moves.
Do you know where they could find this track, Josh? A link to the track
in the show notes, Dave.
Where is that? Where are the show notes?
You just scroll down on the Tadpog website.
Just say computer Gooter on. Amy, good gorilla.
Siri, search for Gooter. Tadpog's Gooter.
I have one result for you.
Siri, please call me Gooter from now on. All right, that's the show.
Yep.
Please get out of my butt, Mr. Stick.
There's your stinger.